Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. One of the very grave misconceptions regarding Islam and women is the fact that it is generally understood that Islam favors men more than women, and that it grants them more rights, more authority, and that there are certain obligations which relate to men only, and in which women are not even mentioned. Amongst these, for example, is the fact that it grants the women, it does not grant the woman the status to divorce, it grants the man or the husband to divorce the wife. Also, the man stands as the head of the family. Similarly, there are other authorities which are invested in him. And on the basis of these directives, people gather that Islam is a male-oriented religion. I have already discussed some of these misconceptions and the proper placement of these directives in some of my other lectures. Here, another thing which perhaps needs to be discussed is that there is another directive or another precept of Islam which is generally presented in corroboration of the fact that Islam is a male-oriented religion. And this is that it is said on the basis of a narrative that a wife should not fast. She should not fast, she should not keep an optional fast unless she seeks permission from her husband. Or in other words, something which is as dear and as close and as private as worship, in such matters also, a wife must seek permission from her husband. The narrative is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, and it is from Abu Huraira. He says that the Prophet said, "La tasumul mar'a wa ba'luha shahidun illa bi'iznihi." A wife should not fast if her husband is present except with his permission. So it is said that unless the wife seeks the permission of her husband, she must not keep the optional fast. Now, first of all, it must be understood that a husband and a wife are, as the Quran says, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna." They are like an apparel to each other. They actually are the only sort of natural and only permissible means of satisfying one's sexual urge. It is only to the man and only to the wife and only to the spouses that this urge has to be satisfied. Therefore, in such circumstances, it is essential that whenever a situation arises in which this thing comes into jeopardy, things should be made more comfortable and more conducive for the two. And it is precisely in this background that the Prophet said that a lady should not fast, keep an optional fast, unless, of course, her husband permits her. This is because, of course, husbands need to satisfy their sexual urge to their wives. And since this is the only legitimate means to satisfy their sexual urge, great care has to be exercised. Also, in this regard, it has to be understood that it's not just the wife who is the addressee of this directive. Since the style of the Quran also, and in most narratives, which is adopted in this regard, is since the husband is generally the more aggressive party in this regard, so such directives are generally mentioned while keeping the husband in the foreground. It automatically implies that such care must also be exercised by the husband himself. For example, if the lady requires her sexual urge to be gratified, her husband also must seek permission or at least seek consent of her wife that if he is to keep an optional fast, then of course it should be brought to her notice, and he should also consult her while doing such a thing. Now, there are some other directives also which I have discussed in some of my other short lectures which actually point to this fact. And one of these lectures, which itself is based on a narrative which says that a husband, if he calls his wife to his bed to satisfy his sexual urge and she does not respond or come to him, then the angels curse that wife the whole night. I had tried to explain in that lecture also that primarily this also relates to this perspective, in which actually the husband and wife are like an apparel to each other. They are the only means of satisfying their very natural sexual urge. And of course, here also and there also, it is understood that the wife and the husband both need to consult each other, both need to be compassionate to each other, both need to be very, very sympathetic to each other in these situations. For example, the curse which is mentioned in this narrative which I have just referred to, it is actually in that case in which the wife starts to deliberately evade her husband. She starts to deliberately evade her husband, and she has no legitimate excuse. For example, she's not tired, and still she does not want to come to her near her husband, and she also does not have any other excuse. So therefore, the curse mentioned in that narrative also relates to the fact that without any legitimate excuse, a wife starts to evade her husband. Similar is the case in this narrative also. This narrative primarily tells a husband and a wife both to be very, very sympathetic and very, very concerned and towards each other regarding their sexual urge. If this narrative is understood in this perspective, the question which arises on it actually is answered in the very first place. أَكُولُ قَالِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.